Good morning, Maui and the mainland. It's Friday morning, and you're here with Mark and Melissa's Mishigasta Magic Show, where we take care of everything under the sun, all those magical moments in your life, as well as your Mishigas. Mishigas is a Yiddish word, which means your craziness. And often we think of it as that craziness that we usually hide inside of us. We have discovered that by bringing that craziness to the surface, you actually can have a more magical life. And we are here to help you do that because Melissa and I are romantic partners as well as coaches. Melissa is a talented life coach and I'm an executive coach, talented. Well, I don't want to brag, but okay. I am.
You are, my love.
I am. Good morning, Missy. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Good morning, my love and my loves.
That's right. It's Missy to everyone. Everyone is Missy's loves. This is our post-Thanksgiving show, and we are thankful to have special guests in the studio who are also coaches and also romantic partners, Jen and Rich Yaker from Conscious Life Coaching, and they're going to be here with us to take your calls and share a little bit about relationships and law of attraction and anything else that comes up. Say good morning, Rich and Jen. Oh, perfect. We had not planned that, but that's just kind of this old comedic thing, and you hope that someone is going to play along. So it's going to be that kind of show. We're going to be taking your calls. Give them all the number, Missy.
The number is, if you would love to receive some coaching today, whatever is going on in your life, from Mishigas, any craziness, to any magic that you want to share, it's 808-873-3435, 808-873-3435, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We just found out that Rich and Jen's mics were not turned on, so.
They didn't hear that comedic moment.
They didn't hear that comedic moment.
Mark did, though.
I did, and it was funny to me. So the holiday brings up a lot of it's a holiday is a joyous occasion, a time when we give thanks, and yet it brings up a lot of Mishigas for people. And if you want to talk about any of your Mishigas, feel free to call in. We had a great time last night. Rich and Jen are here from California. We had a delightful time making food. We had a vegan Thanksgiving. And then we decided to play games afterwards with our friends, which brought up some Mishigas. What is it about games? We played Cards Against Humanity, and then we played Taboo. And what is it about games that brings up a different side of people, Missy? What do you?
Well, for some people, it brings up a competitive spirit.
Competitive spirit, exactly.
We can have that part in us that wants to win. We want to win.
And it was funny, and that happened last night. We broke up into two teams. Earlier during our Thanksgiving meal, we all went around and said something. Instead of saying what we're thankful for, we said something we were proud of accomplishing in the past year. And that was a beautiful moment. And as each person spoke, we all listened attentively and we took it in and we shared that moment with them. And then a couple hours later, we were accusing people of cheating.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
I don't remember that part.
What was the energy of you're not doing the right thing in playing this game, okay? And it's just so funny how that comes out, that we go from, oh, I'm so happy you're here, you travel 3,000 miles, we're sharing in this joyous moment, to you don't get a second chance. No, we can't start the timer again.
I do remember that part.
So what happens that we go from this loving place to this craziness where we're accusing our friends of whatever it is? Jen and Rich, your relationship coaches, what do you think happens there?
Well, I think it's a lot of how we're socialized. You know, everything that we're socialized for from the moment we enter school is to get the best grade and to win. And, you know, there's always a reward or a prize. I think a lot of it's just maybe cultural and not really who we are at our core.
Yeah, programming, definitely.
Yeah.
So at our core, we're not competitive, trying to make sure the time runs out in the timer so the other people lose.
Well, I think it's a personality thing. I think there are people that are more competitive and others who strive for a more win-win scenario, but there is that cultural thing, and there's also kind of group dynamics that happen where, you know, you get caught up in the moment with the team and the group and fall into the energy that's created by everybody. And so games are about winning and losing, and that, you know, that's where you go.
There will be a winner and there will be a loser.
Well, you can't have a winner. Clearly, Missy doesn't believe in the winning-losing concept.
Oh,
I have
God.
More belief in a fundamental
yes,
concept
you do.
That someone needs to...
I mean, I grew up on the tennis courts. I mean, my parents had a tennis racket in my hand from the time I was three, which was wonderful. And, you know, it was very competitive.
By the way, anytime Missy says it was wonderful and she pauses and then says, and... there's always some more mishigas behind that that's not actually coming out.
Well, it was cute. You know, my dad so wanted to see his daughter win, of course. You know, he was out
because
there cheering me
you.
On because he loves me. And he, you know, at times I wasn't calling the lines, right? Like the ball would be out, but I didn't see it that way. And I was always leaning more in towards, you know, having a fair game, having a fair match with my competitor. And he'd be like, come on, you got to get in there. You got to want to kill them. I'm like, but Dad, she's my friend. I just didn't really have that killer competitive instinct. Hence, I didn't make it to Wimbledon like they wanted me to.
Until the first time we played ping pong. And if you've spent any time around Missy, she is this beautiful, loving person who gets excited by rainbows and unicorns and helping everyone bring their magic to life. That's the name of her business, Love Your Magical Life. And the first time we played ping pong, I saw a side of her that I hadn't seen before. And she took great joy in beating me 7 games in a row.
It's true.
So there was some competitive spirit there that came
from... It
was from,
that day.
We'll blame that on society.
Well, obviously her dad rubbed off on her somewhat.
Yeah.
But maybe compared to how he would have wanted it, she was less killer instinct than you thought she was.
That's true. I had no. I had only been comparing her to what I, the loving person I had seen up until that point. And that's what I love about games. Isn't it fun when you discover a new side of someone you think you know? Like we put people, we get a little bit of information and we put them in this box of this is who they are. And then we get some new information. I think that's like just one of the magical moments of life. That's
sweet.
Right.
Those sweet surprises. Last night playing games, again, we have a beautiful friend on island, and we were playing Cards Against Humanity, if you've ever played that before, and just some of the things that she was putting together in the arrangement of the cards, I just would never guess that was coming from her in a million years, and then I would look over at her in surprise, and she'd just smile real big. I'm like, wow, yeah, new discoveries.
You mean like permanent orgasm face?
Something like that, yeah.
Is that a real affliction?
I one would have to Google. That's all I can say about that. I don't know.
Can you coach your clients into that?
That's not part of our scope. I do have some referrals. I think.
Yes, we do have a friend who practices that and teaches that.
We do have a friend who does, what's it called, orgasmic meditation? Is that where they practice?
We have a few friends.
Who do that, yeah.
We have more than one friend, yeah.
Yeah. That's a different, but that's not part of your coaching. Your coaching is not more on the orgasmic aspect of it, is it?
I think it certainly might lead to some of that for hopefully. Our coaching
is that how you measure success?
The success is it's each individual is unique in their measurement.
Oh my God, what a political answer.
And we have no judgment about, you know, each person's success is defined by themselves. we really help too. We like to help people get clear on what type of partner they want to manifest, and then we help them figure out what's standing in the way, and then we help them align with finding a partner that will be magical, really, for them. And the hardest thing that I come across is that people don't seem to believe that type of relationship is magical. that type of magical relationship as possible. Mm-hmm. And so, Mark and Melissa, if you could shed some light on that, I would love that.
Wow. Well, she's spinning it right back to us, Mella.
That's very good. That's good coaching. That's very good coaching.
Wow. This is quite a Friday morning already. I already took off my sweatshirt. I don't know what else is coming off here, but woo!
Maybe you'll get that permanent orgasm thing.
Hi.
And if you want to call in our show and talk about this or anything else, it's 808-873-3435. I did not believe that I could have a magical relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, I just pretty much my whole life. Yeah. I thought, and actually, I had not been in many relationships before Melissa, and I kept thinking that was, that was a problem. Who would want me?
Hmm.
You know, it was that kind of feeling. And imagine you're walking around with that kind of feeling, and dating is not going to be so easy.
Hmm.
And I mean, I guess I actually shifted a bit. I started to shift and believe that maybe something good could happen. I actually started to work out a little bit, and then I started to play with my beliefs, and then I started to meet. It was really interesting, too, because I was doing online dating, and I hadn't been getting a lot of responses, and I thought, I was on Match.com, and I thought, I need to change my picture. I need to change my profile, and what actually happened is I started to work out, and I started to play with my beliefs, and as I started to play with my beliefs, more people started to respond to me. Women who I had written to months ago all of a sudden were writing to me. I had not changed my profile. I had not changed my picture.
Mm.
And then I was at a workshop where they said, talk about the future as if it's already happened. And I started to do with that relationship. And I said, I want a woman who, when I go to Trader Joe's and they play the cheesy 80s music, and I start to sing REO Speedwagon, they'll start to sing along with me. And that when I hit that, it's like, oh, that got really clear. And like a week later, I was introduced to Missy, and then we started a magical and sometimes mishigas relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And have you sung together in Trader Joe's?
Yes, did you sing REO Speedwagon in Trader Joe's?
We absolutely have. We actually, 2 weeks later on our second date, we were in a parking lot in Southern California listening to At Last by Etta James, and we started dancing in the parking lot.
And the coolest part of that story is that the night before, when we were arranging for this next date, we were going to be dancing to ABBA, an ABBA tribute band. And Mark's like, well, how will you dance? And I'll be like, I'm going to shake my hips and this and that. And he goes, well, what if a slow song comes on like At Last? Because At Last was playing on his Pandora. I go, oh, if that came on, I would just slow my hips down and it would be just real slow. And
I so put on my permanent orgasm. My permanent orgasm.
Well, so
with Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So we're sitting. We finally found a parking spot, and the manifestation of the parking spot was cause for celebration. I mean, it was a summer day in Southern California. There was a concert. People wanted to come out surfing. So finding a parking spot was a big deal. So we pulled in, and we were so excited, like little kids that just had, we just manifested something, right? And so we were in this great place, and we were about to turn off the radio. And then the song At
and
Last.
We were listening to an 80s station.
Yeah. That
every song we had been hearing for the last 20 minutes was an 80s song. And then on that same station,
there's nothing like the genre of At Last, yeah.
At Last came on. And I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then we got out and we danced in the parking lot. And
yeah, it was really beautiful.
It was so, that was even better than singing at Trader Joe's is dancing in the parking lot.
Yeah, you know, the magic of romance, you know, it really, when our hearts are open and we're excited to be love and to receive love, it's miraculous and magical what can take place.
I love what you said about being love and being ready to receive love, because so often I get approached by people to, oh, can you help me with my online dating profile? Can you help me with my online dating picture? You know, et cetera. And I'm happy to help people with all that. But as you know, Mark and Rich and maybe Melissa, my experience was I dated for 7 years online, and I dated, I probably went on hundreds of dates.
Mm.
And I thought it was a numbers game.
Did you say hundreds?
Hundreds, yeah.
Wow.
I don't normally admit that, but I just admitted it to all of Maui.
Yeah, that happens here sometimes. I've done that too.
And And yeah, because I thought I had been in marketing and I thought, well, you know, meeting the right guy is just a numbers game. So if I pound the pavement, I take enough action.
Wait, you pound. Okay, go ahead.
My love.
You know, walk along the sidewalk and, you know, knock on doors.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Metaphorically. I thought if I meet enough men, I will eventually, you know, numbers must work in my favor. It's like winning the lottery. If I pull in enough tickets, eventually I'll find a winning ticket. And what happened was after 7 years, I still hadn't met the right partner. And I knew that that wasn't the right approach. And what I learned was it's more about who I'm being mm-hmm. and more about being open and ready to receive. And so I had to spend some time working with coaches. I'm all the way up on the mic. So so I had to spend some time working with coaches and, you know, reading books and taking seminars to be able to make that shift, to be able to be ready to feel into being the energy of love and being able to receive the love of a man as amazing as my husband is. So.
Aw, beautiful.
What is that? Okay. So what the heck does that mean to be the energy of love? Because I think I get it and I think I don't get it. What is being the energy of love? Do I walk around like in Cupid clothes or do I walk around with a big heart? I mean, what is that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good question because it's not necessarily something you can hold in your hand, right? It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I've got the energy of love in my hand, although I think you could imagine that and feel mm-hmm. into that. I think it's something, it's one of those things that when you feel it, you do know it, right? You know when
that's
you're
like,
feeling
that's
love.
That's also the definition of pornography. Go ahead. A Supreme Court justice, when they asked him to describe, anyway, go ahead, continue.
Oh, you
wait,
know,
what?
You know, yeah, what? You know it when you see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, most people, not everybody, but most people have experienced love in their life. Mm-hmm. Their parents, or siblings, or cousins, or some sort of family member. So, it's about tapping into that feeling and being able to feel that feeling. Without necessarily having it directed at a particular person in a moment.
Yeah, I look at it as expanding one's heart. You know, what I do with my clients is have them, what I learned to do is breathe deeply into my heart and expand it in all directions, like it was a balloon, and, you know, have the heart feel as big as the room you're in, and then as big as the United States, and then eventually as big as the world, big as the universe, just to keep on expanding your heart, that spaciousness, you know, and then you feel this overflowing love and this openness and space. It's like really yummy.
You know, I remember going on dates and sometimes I'd be really excited and sometimes I'd be nervous and sometimes I'd be wondering, what are they going to think of me? And sometimes I'd be saying, all right, I'm going to kind of be there, but I'm going to be a little cautious until I know, like, you're a good person I can talk to. Which is probably the opposite of being love, right?
I feel like for me, what really made the difference was just taking it moment to moment and just staying in touch with my, what we refer to as our inner being, which is, you know, our sense of our own emotions and how we're feeling and our own intuition. And for me, just taking it moment to moment really seemed to serve me, and not coming out with, okay, today I'm going to be cautious or today I'm not going to be cautious, but just really feeling into what felt right in that moment and allowing that to be my guide for, you know, if I went out with a guy again, or even if I accepted a date from a guy, or even if I logged on to, you know, my internet dating site, which I wasn't doing a lot of for about 6 months, but I really started to just use that sense of my intuition to what feels right in this moment. And I let it take me moment by moment, and it really worked out. It was a very different way for me than having the premeditation or saying, this is how you date, or reading something in a book that said, you know, you should wait 90 days or don't call a guy back after 3 days, and all of these different things that we read in these books. And I was like the queen of reading these books.
Gosh.
And, you know, I was a human guinea pig, and I implemented, and so many of them just didn't, you know, nothing against these authors, but it just didn't work for me. And when I finally started going within and asking my intuition, okay, what is the right thing to do in this moment, I started to get guided in a very different way. And I just had a much better experience of dating. It stopped being this dramatic, anxiety-producing thing. And even before I met my husband, the dates I went out with, you know, I had fun. These guys were conscious men. They were great men. We respected each other. We had a good time. And, you know, at some point we would have a conversation that we knew that we weren't right for each other. But there was none of that, like, ah, should I call him? Is he going to call me? It was just like, all right, let's feel into what's right for today. And when I met my husband, you know, it was so much easier than I expected. That's where the magic was. It was a lot easier than I expected because he was just so clear about what he wanted. And he had a very strong intuition, I think, that he wanted to be with me. And it felt like being carried by a current instead of trying to force things. And it was really nice.
It's probably something a lot of people can relate to here in Maui, the fighting against the current versus enjoying the current and riding that wave. So, Rich, what did you do? Jen talked about some of the things she did to prepare. What did you do to get prepared to meet beautiful Jen?
Well, my journey was fairly different. I had been married and in a very good marriage, and my first wife had passed away. So part of that journey was about healing. And then part of it also, as I learned some of these universal things about law of attraction, was about applying that and knowing that I had been, that the common denominator in any relationship I was in was me, and had, having been in a good relationship, that I could do that again. So holding that vision of that I was going to be able to meet somebody who was right for me, and knew that was going to happen, was definitely part of my journey.
It sounds like the commonality for both of you is even before you met the other person, there was some things, some inner work that you both did, and even some holding this idea that there is a magical person for me even before you had the reality of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've all, at least all of us here in this room, and probably some of your listeners have heard the term, your beliefs create your reality. And I decided to really play with that and really explore what will it look like and what will it feel like if I really believe that there is an amazing partner out there for me who will love me with all of my, you know, quirks and all of those, you know, supposed flaws that I think make me unlovable. What would it feel like? What will it be like if I have that person in my life? And I really started playing with that daily. Like, what's it going to be like? What's it going to feel like? And I would visualize, and I would put on music that made me feel how I wanted to feel. And I started to really make that the most important part of my day, was focusing on what I wanted instead of pushing against what I didn't want, which was what I had at the time. And I just decided to bring all of my focus to what's it going to be like. And I started living in what we call the as if, where what's my life going to be like if I have this amazing man in my life. And what was amazing was that before I even met my husband, I had such profound feelings of being in love because I had worked myself into this state, almost like an athlete works themselves into like a game state. I had worked myself into the state of being in love. And it was this big breakthrough because I realized I had found true freedom, because I no longer needed another person to be able to create the feeling of being in love. I could pull it out from inside of myself. Yeah. And we all have that. I'm not special. We all have that. I just was able to have some great coaching where I was able, you know, just amazing synchronistic stream of events where I was able to be able to tap into feeling what that feels like. And that really is such a gift in addition to my partner, just to be able to know that.
That's the greatest gift of all, really, you know, is this love that we find within ourselves that's always there. You know, we have everything that we need inside of us. And when we can tap into that place, then we're not coming into relationship like, I have to get something from you, I need something from you, I want something from you. We don't go into attachments. There's just all sorts of really cool things that don't happen because we're self-fulfilled, self-sustained.
Yeah, it becomes a relationship becomes something of sharing, not getting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Big difference.
Can you, Rich, can you talk more about that? Because we all like to receive and we all like to feel love coming back. What's the sharing versus getting?
Well, as both Melissa and Jen said, we are able to generate this stuff within ourselves. And once you're complete, it's you know, there's that movie line, and movies go a long way to creating a lot of the myths of relationships that create a lot of the problems people have in relationships.
Yeah.
There's that line in some movie, I don't remember, "You complete me."
Jerry Maguire.
I never saw the movie, but I know it, so yes. And once you are complete, it's not about finding somebody that's going to make you complete. It's about finding somebody that can share your love and their love with you and experiences. And it's a much different dynamic than thinking you're lacking something and need to get in a relationship to complete yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you do this? I'm listening to this and it sounds amazing, filling yourself up with so much love that you're wanting to share it instead of having to have another person to make you feel loved. How do you do it in such a way where it doesn't become like this fantasy, this is my fantasy boyfriend, and the person's out, you know, in the clouds and not really grounded, not really living life because they're so caught up in a fantasy,
well, in
yet
a way,
they're not connecting
with other
people.
In a way, it is a fantasy, but that's okay if you're able to separate that from living your life and doing that in your own head and doing that when you're alone to work on it is not a problem. Obviously, if you went around telling everybody you had a partner and they never saw that partner, they'd wonder if you were crazy. But if you're like, okay, I'm not going to talk to others about that, because the other thing about talking to others and sharing that fantasy with them is they can talk you out of it. And keeping that in your mind and staying focused on what you want and that it exists is important to getting there.
Jen is raising her hand. Jen, the bathroom, if we can call on Jen. I see a hand in the back.
Can I go now?
Melissa's got her hand up. Everyone's got their hand up.
My inner being wanted to speak to your audience. Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. And I get this question.
Was Einstein a relationship coach?
No, but he was a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
He was a pretty intelligent guy. I think he had some contributions for us. And I get this a lot from my clients, and they think, oh, but it's just a fantasy. And really, if you think about it, wasn't everything a fantasy before?
I
mean, this building was a fantasy before we were sitting on these chairs were just a figment of somebody's imagination. They were an idea. Everything that manifests in the physical was at first a fantasy or a imagination. So I think, to me, it's like, well, that's the law of the universe. We fantasize about something. We think about something. We have an idea, and then we get the impulse to take this inspired action or that inspired action, and before we know it, we have a building that we're sitting in, or we have our soulmate sitting beside us doing a radio show with us.
Mm. Was this part of your fantasy that you'd be doing radio shows?
It was. That actually was interesting. I thought about maybe I wanted to have a business with my partner. That definitely was in my goal, not list of goals, my intentions. But it was interesting when I met Rich. Within a week, I knew we would be doing stuff like this together. It was an internal knowing. I knew.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break right now. When we come back, 808-873-3435. The phones are open. Tony, did you take it off of night mode? That's our engineer. Make sure sometimes we leave the phones on night mode. We want to take that off so people can call in and talk to Rich and Jen from Conscious Life Coaching, consciouslifecoaching.com. Also here with my...
Actually, it's conscious-life-coaching.com, but thank you.
Conscious-life-coaching.com.
Yeah.
Just as it flowed, it sounded... And I'm here with my beautiful Melissa Bradley. Melissa at loveyourmagicallife.com. And we'll be back with Mark and Melissa's Mishigasta Magic. Colin, you're a part of the show.
This is Scientific American's 60 Second Science. I'm Jason Goldman. Got a minute? River otters, like other social animals, have to carefully weigh the costs and benefits of hanging out in large groups. A big group makes it easier to catch fish, which seems like a good deal, but there's a downside to social life too. More otters means more chances for disease transmission, for example, or for aggressive conflict. So they balance these pressures by living in what researchers call a fission-fusion society.
So there's this constant dynamic of splitting and sort of joining into larger groups.
University of Wyoming ecologist Adi Barocas. To understand the factors that drive these social dynamics, Barocas's team from the University of Wyoming and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has spent decades spying on the coastal river otters of Alaska near Prince William Sound. To do it, they use motion-activated camera traps as well as implanted radio trackers.
The latrines, what we call latrines, which are pretty much communal toilets that the river otters use, they seem to be have an important function in the life of river otters.
That's right. River Otter Society is organized around the bathroom. It makes good sense. By investigating a latrine, an otter can sniff out just how many otters there are in the area and who they might be. The researchers found the otters performed more signaling behaviors, like sniffing, body rubbing, or urinating, than social behaviors, like grooming or play, at what they called crossover latrines, which were located at the junctions of water bodies. Thanks to all that communicative signaling, these crossover latrines were also more likely to host fusion events, resulting in large aggregations of up to 18 otters. In other words, the otters see latrines as a place to exchange information, a sort of central marketplace. Because the location of crossover latrines was determined by the physical landscape, this suggests that the complexity of the physical environment plays an important role in determining their social behavior. Next, the researchers want to see just how and what the otters communicate at latrines.
We often see the river otters sniffing at the latrines and also defecating, and before defecating they do a little sort of ritualized behavior that we term the poop dance.
What scents are they trying to sniff out? Which olfactory compounds are at play? Can the otters control the scents they leave behind? Who's even watching the poop dance? And most importantly, why doesn't anybody ever remember to flush? Thanks for the minute. For Scientific American's 60 Second Science, I'm Jason Goldman.
And we're back, Mark and Melissa's Michigasta Magic on 88.5 The Voice of Maui, with our special guests, Rich and Jen Yaker, who are relationship coaches and law of attraction coaches. And you can call in and join us at 808-873-3435. Again, you know, the purpose of our show is to help you share anything you want to share, the magical moments in life and the Michigas, which is your craziness. Mm. And Jen, you said something before which I thought was so beautiful, that you came to realize that your quirks, and you are quirky.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, as we all are. As we all are. Well, I've heard you say this before, that you didn't want to find someone who would love you despite your quirks, but who would love your quirks. And I know I've heard Rich say, what's the thing you say about your crazy, but you're my kind of crazy? Or,
oh, well, I did say that, but actually this came up last night.
Oh, yeah, it did come up last night.
So I told my wife that I loved her, and she said, really, you don't think I'm crazy? And then I just looked at her with that look of, what? And then I said, they're not mutually exclusive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was definitely it was something that I had gotten really clear on just from the work I had been doing, that if you want someone to love you unconditionally, you have to love yourself unconditionally. And loving yourself unconditionally doesn't mean you only love yourself when you got the promotion or you have a good hair day. It means you love yourself when you gain 10 pounds or, you know, you're grouchy or, you know, whatever. And so I had consciously been working on doing my there's something called shadow work, which is from Debbie Ford, where you can you consciously go through and you love all the parts of yourself that you think are untouchable and unlovable. Mm-hmm. So I had actually done that work a few weeks actually before I met my husband, and it really shifted my energy to where I could notice one of my flaws but not be in judgment of myself around it, mm-hmm. and sort of love myself through that. And so when we had our first moment, I remember it very clearly, where I, you know, had a little insecurity come up, and I shared it with my husband because he's intuitive and nothing gets by him anyway. And I said what was going on for me, my Michigas, what was really going on for me. And he just looks at me and he goes, you know, you're crazy, right? And I thought in that moment, first, my first reaction was a little bit of ouch. Like, he just called me crazy, the guy that I, you know, am dating.
By the way, I think it's really cool that you had done enough work on yourself that probably 3 months before that, if someone called you crazy, you would have been freaked out and gone inside and not even been impressed. I know with my quirks or preferences or whatever it is, there's been times when someone's pointed out and it's freaked me out versus learning how to truly be present with someone, even though they're calling that out, which is really cool to begin with.
Well, I think it boils down to authenticity. And what I did in that moment was he said, you know, you're a little bit crazy. And I said, you know, first I thought ouch. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I am a little I have a little mishigas sometimes. Yeah. I am a human being.
Yep.
I've been through a lot in my life without going into detail. And I thought sometimes it comes up. And I thought, I want to know right here and now, can he handle me as I am? Can he be with the fullness of me, with all in all my glory and all my mishigas and all my craziness? And can he accept me as I am, as I accept myself?
And was that a moment? Because I know there's been times when my craziness has come out, and it's really, it can be a very vulnerable moment. Is Missy going to still love me through that craziness? Because the more attached you get with someone, the more you open up your craziness. Yes. And then there's those moments where, holy crap, I let out more craziness than I've let out before. Everything's come out. Does this person still think I'm adorable? Does she still love me? Yeah. Right? I mean, we've been through that where it's like,
oh, yeah.
And with you too, when you've shown your craziness, and it's like,
Is
Mark still going to love me?
The theme I'm hearing here is we're all crazy. and
that's the secret to finding your soulmate.
And that's not about us. That's about everybody.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as normal. And so if we're not okay being crazy with the person we love and who loves us, we're never going to be okay. And everybody has to... If you're going to get to this place and find the right relationship, that has to be the case, because there is no such thing as normal, and we're all kind of – we all have our own mishigas.
Yeah, that's what the show's all about, is bringing it to the surface.
Jen's raising her hand.
Jen's raising her hand. So
she's the polite one. We all interrupt.
So Jen's raising her hand, which means we're going to play the game. Everyone else speaks except Jen. It is true, though. It is those – that's our philosophy, right, Miss, is that we have realized in our coaching practice and in our lives that when you try to hide your mission, because we can pick up, if you're paying attention to your partner, you can pick up when something's off.
Yeah.
And I only get upset with Missy, not when she shows her craziness, but when she tries to hide it from me.
That's true.
And Missy's way is closing up.
Let me block for my wife so she could get her hand raised comment in.
Thank you, honey. Can I finish my story?
No, that's
it. I have one line left.
Okay.
I have one line left.
That's one of the ways.
You didn't let me say the punchline.
Well, that's what happens on our show, is we start off on one line and we go everywhere else.
I know.
What's the end of your story? Would you share it with us?
Yeah, sure. So when I said to Rich what I was feeling, I shared my authentic truth with him, and he says, you know, you're crazy, right? And I just, after I took that moment out, I looked at him and I said, you know, I am a little crazy sometimes. I said, are you going to be able to deal with that? And he took a moment, he did an honest reflection, and he said, yes, because you're my crazy.
Aww.
And he hugged me, and I just, it was an amazing moment where I went, oh my gosh, I accept myself as is with my flaws, and now my partner does too.
It makes it more dramatic, but there really wasn't a pause.
There was a pause.
It's better with a pause. It's much more interesting with a pause.
That's
it would
so
be great
beautiful.
If you go ahead, baby.
Oh, I love that. I had angel bumps when you shared that. I could really, really feel it, because that was a pivotal moment for you, embracing your craziness and just saying, yes, I am. And then the reflection of him going, yes, and I love that about you, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a quote. I think it's Dr. Seuss. Which is funny that it's Dr. Seuss, and I'm going to butcher the quote. So I'm totally paraphrasing, but it's along the lines of, when you find somebody who you're crazy and they're crazy work together, then you've found your match.
That's the other thing I was going to say. You're just looking for somebody who's crazy works with your crazy.
Yeah.
We're all crazy. You just need to find somebody who's crazy is compatible with your crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes that's good. And It's when we all can admit that we're crazy and then it's okay to be crazy, which sounds almost like a crazy or counterintuitive idea. When we can admit you're like, we're all crazy and we're okay with our crazy.
Yeah.
We can love ourselves a lot more and then other people can come in. And if you're not so good at that, get a coach.
Yep.
Get a relationship coach, because one thing the four of us have discovered is, and again, we still have our Michigasson relationships. We absolutely do. Stuff comes up. We feel hurt. We feel pain. And the feeling of loving is so much greater than I ever thought it could be.
When your partner's a coach, it makes it really easy. But
Tell us more, Rich. Yeah.
Well, then you coach each other. So you don't really have to seek out a coach. I mean, sometimes even then, like, there's things that are too close to home, or your partner's in pain and it's too hard to coach them objectively because of that pain. But having a coach as a partner is certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So marry a coach, or if you're not going to marry a coach,
you don't have to marry a coach.
Hire a coach.
Hire a coach.
Hire a coach.
And we're all available.
Yeah. I was going to ask Jen and Rich, what's with your clients? You know, what is their biggest challenge, if you will? Why are they coming to you? What's ultimately like, I can't do this anymore on my own?
Yeah. For me, there's a few different reasons. But ultimately, you know, bottom line is they've been trying to manifest a partner on their own and their efforts haven't been fruitful. And I completely relate to that because that had been my experience, meaning, you know, I always say if you've been trying for some time and you're out there online dating or you're out networking and you still haven't met your person and you feel tired, that's usually a sign that there's some inner work that would be really helpful. And then there's the other group of people that aren't even dating at all, either because they don't know how or their last relationship experience was so bad. And I think what I would like to impart, if I had one message I could say in a megaphone, it's just believe, meaning there is reason to hope. There's 7.5. Let's just look at the sheer numbers of it all, people. There's 7.5 billion plus people in the world. Half those people are single. Mm. You have pretty good odds.
Yeah.
The odds are good. And it's really just about, again, placing yourself into a place where you can believe that this person exists.
Well, that believe is, I mean, and Cher's also echoed what you've said. She had a song about believe and love. But
who did?
Cher. You don't remember Cher singing that?
No, but I'm certainly going to Google it after this.
Google it afterwards.
It could be a great theme song for your business.
All right. Yeah.
But that step from non-belief to belief, it can be a huge friggin' step. Mm-hmm. It can be, it's not simply, oh, I don't believe. I haven't had relationships before. I'm 45 and I haven't had great relationships before. Why would I believe that I can have it without doing some work on myself and getting, I mean, I guess the great thing about a coach is that they get that support to help accelerate the process. And there's definitely some nuance to all this. Getting your hand held is really nice. Rich is raising his hand without raising his hand.
It helps to see examples, and there are examples out there, and people sometimes have to seek them out. I've had clients who, one of the myths out there is about age, and people who are single and they're getting older think that, oh, I'm past a certain age and nobody will want me, or people don't find people. And there are tons of stories you can find of people way older than all of us, people in their 80s, 90s, who meet somebody. And by seeing those stories and seeing that there are examples, it sometimes helps to bridge that belief gap.
Yeah, models are actually really helpful. What? Huh? Who?
Thomas Edison said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yep.
And I think it sums up everything about transformational work, meaning if you can believe that you can accomplish something and you're willing to take the steps that are necessary to transform your life and you're willing to look at things differently and you're willing to just simply stay open to possibility, it's pretty magical.
Yeah, it is. What can happen? I highly recommend it.
Well, who was it who said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting
different results? Different,
I think it was Jimmy Fallon, right?
Jimmy Fallon?
I think it was Jimmy.
Was it Elvis?
It might have been Elvis. It might have been
Elvis Costello.
It was someone who said that, and because I hear you talking, and sometimes this is challenging. This is to do these things, and it does work though. I mean, we're all examples sitting here. Of,
yeah.
You know, Missy was in a 25-year relationship that was not as magical as it is being with me. And she tells me that. That's a fact. That's a pure fact.
That's so cute, my love. No, well, there are times where it does feel insane out there, you know, when you are single and on your own. I mean, I remember after that 25 years and being relationship and then not being in relationship. And I went about 3 years. I mean, I dated a little bit, hardly at all, though. And those were some, you know, years I really wanted to be in relationship that felt normal and natural to me as who I am and my personality to be in relationship. And you know, there are times where it did feel insane. I don't know how to do this, you know, and I thought there was a right way and a wrong way. And, you know, so it is wonderful to have support because, again, we all at the end of the day, we all want to love and we all want to be loved.
Hmm. Who said that? God said that.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. Yeah. True statement.
So that covers everything and everybody. So. Yeah.
So, Missy, I would love to know what your process was. What were you doing during those 3 years?
Yeah.
To get ready for me.
Yeah, to get ready for the magical Marky Mark, as I love to call him.
And his Michigas.
And his Michigas.
She did not know. She definitely got to learn about Michigas being with me.
Do we need to take a commercial?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So, yeah, thanks for that question. And it was such an unraveling, again, after being in partnership for 25 years to go out on my own, and it felt really super scary at times. I mean, the evenings, the nights were dark and lonely. I felt lost. And
you were literally scared of the dark, right? You did not like sleeping by yourself in a house.
Yeah, I never had. Mm. I mean, I had gone from my parents' house and I moved out with him when I was 18, and I had never known what it was like. Here I was, 43, learning to sleep alone for the first time. Like, wow, yeah, it felt... I would sleep with one eye open and one eye closed. And so what I did was, you know, I found books and I went seeking. You know, it was book after book. I started with the Four Agreements. And I mean, it was book after book. And then I would meet people who would introduce me to the next thing. And then there was the next thing and the next thing. So that kind of went on for 3 years. And all the while, every day of those 3 years, I so wanted to have that partner in my life, you know, that I knew was possible. I did believe. I always believed. And so my process was I dated a little. There was some real craziness there. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm taking a real break. And I took a break for a year. So I didn't date anybody for a whole entire year. And then I was pretty much introduced to Mark. And I was then in a place of clarity. I had done a lot of Kundalini yoga. I had done a lot of cleansing and clearing and releasing. And I was very clear on what I wanted in partnership. And then through some mutual friends, we were at Agape and then went to, where did we go for lunch that day?
Cafe Gratitude.
Cafe Gratitude. And he was sitting across from me and we were flirting and having fun. And yeah, Mark showed up.
And here I am.
I know. It's so great.
Here I am.
How many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Well, and it was great in the beginning too. Mark did show me his Michigas, and so, you know, that got reflected early on. I was able to share with him. I mean, we've just been such a great thing in each other's lives as far as helping each other to see what is possible moment by moment.
Yeah. It's surprisingly, as much as you watch it in movies, and I'm a romantic at heart, and
me too.
Do love those romantic comedies. It's when you feel it inside. I mean, I have often said loving Missy is the best thing I get to do.
Aww. Mm.
And it's because the feelings are just that big. They're that cool. And I think that's why you both wanted to be relationship coaches is because you wanted other people to share this.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Share the joy that you get to share.
Yeah.
It was definitely, for me, it was kind of like I had found my way out of a dark ditch. Mm-hmm. And I knew there were other people still in the dark ditch. And I thought maybe it would be nice for me to help those other people out and sort of be the guiding light. But I really, I fought against it for a bit. And my head told me to be a weight loss coach. Because I had been in the fitness industry for 20 years, and logically, it made a lot more sense for me to work in the fitness. And Mark just wrote on paper from ditch to rich.
He wrote from
ditch to jitch, which is his name for us because my name is Jen and my husband's name is Rich. So he collectively calls us Jitch, which makes us feel like celebrities, and it's amazing. my head told me to be a weight loss coach, and that didn't really work out. It just felt like going uphill and pulling teeth. So I finally sat down Wednesday and I just meditated on why isn't this working out. And what I heard was, well, because you really want to be a love coach. And immediately my head went, but nobody's going to believe me. I don't have a degree in psychology. And what I heard was, but you live this transformation. You have actually done it. You've experienced it. Go forth and show them the way. And so we started doing that. And our first workshop had 27 people. And it really, again, it all goes back to trusting the universe. It goes back to trusting that still small voice that says, do this thing, even when it can feel completely mischievous, right? You think this is crazy. This makes no sense. Mm-hmm. But I have found the most amazing things in my life have happened when I follow that voice. So follow your voice of crazy, unless it tells you to jump off a cliff and we are not responsible for any damages.
Good advice. Yeah.
Do not do yourself any harm. Yeah. Disclaimer.
Or anybody else.
Yes.
Thank you.
I love talking about this because this reminds me if there's other things in my life that I want to achieve now, and sometimes I wonder if they're possible or impossible. And then all I have to do is look back. There was a time in my life I didn't think love was possible. Mm. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was adorable. I didn't think. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time we were, in bed, and Missy said, "You're so adorable," and I was like, "What are you talking about? Not me." And I didn't believe it at first. And this stuff reminds me again. There's other things in our lives, all of us right now, that we don't think are possible. And then to look back and see. Mm. What we have achieved and how we have created this loving relationship, and there's so many more things. And part of that formula is believing it before, finding a way to believe it even before you physically see it.
Yeah,
totally. I use that to remind Jen occasionally when she forgets. You this happened. You manifested this. So why can't you have a 7 or 8 figure business, and why can't that happen, and why can't we find our dream home easily, and those kind of things, and it all comes back to if you've manifested anything else in your life, even that parking spot that you got, that's an example of the universe working.
Why do people think it's different to I forget sometimes. Rich is very good at remembering that there is a formula that has worked for him. Why do you think we forget so often? It's like I didn't think I can manifest love, and then I have love, and then I think, oh, I can have love, but I can't have this. Why do you think we forget so easily?
We compartmentalize, and we don't really think about how this all works, and we tend to compartmentalize each subject as if it's unique to itself, instead of that there's a way the universe works, and the things we've gotten were because of that, and the things we haven't gotten yet work the same way. And when I first started coaching Law of Attraction, well before I met Jen and wasn't targeting relationship coaching, one of the things I would have people do is do a postmortem on their life, not a real postmortem because obviously they're not dead yet, but a postmortem is something in business that after a project ends, you analyze how it went. And so when people would start to ask about Law of Attraction or learn this and start to believe it, I'd say – you know, look back at your life and even the bad things that happened to you, if you look at them through the lens of law of attraction, once you believe this, mm-hmm. it's kind of obvious why they happen. You can mm-hmm. you can remember the fear you had that led up to that bad thing, the negative emotions, the negative space you were in. And when the good things happen, you can remember how non-attached you were and or how excited you were. And it begins to help that belief.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I love what you said about not being so attached to something. And we had that happen yesterday when Missy was talking to a potential client. They were all excited. She emailed them, didn't hear from them. And then we started to wonder if there's something to do. And instead, after talking to Rich and Jen in the morning, we decided to go to the beach. And when we came back, Missy had a call from the client who wanted to get started.
Yeah, true story. True story.
Yep, going to the beach. It's funny because one of our teachers is Esther Hicks and the Abraham Hicks teachings. And there's a very good clip of her talking to a person who came to one of her workshops and is talking about how he doesn't like his job and how he'd like to go to the beach. And Esther says, go to the beach in your mind. And if you keep going to the beach, eventually this thing, you will help relax and you'll get what you want. And literally, we went to the beach yesterday and everything fell in Melissa's lap.
Yep. It's so great how it works.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us who are listening in Hawaii, you can go to the beach. Mm. And those of you listening on the mainland, you can find a beach or go to the beach in your mind. Is there a really good mind beach that you would recommend, Rich?
A really good mind beach?
Like one that's not so crowded and the sand's really pretty? And
well, it could be a pool or a beach or a bathtub.
Oh, a mind pool, okay.
Or even going in, you know, a lot of people who don't believe this talk about how their best ideas come to them in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Water. Water's a conductor.
Because relaxing in the shower, mm-hmm. it's that relaxing, which is letting go, and it's letting go of the attachment, and letting go allows what you are asking for to come in.
Yeah. Mark. He loves to go in the jacuzzi in the morning.
Ah, I love the jacuzzi in the morning.
He comes out, he's like, oh my God, all these amazing ideas just came through.
Mm-hmm. I started to bring my phone so I could record ideas as they came to me in the jacuzzi. And it reminds me, is it John McKay, the founder of Whole Foods? He talks about some of his best ideas come when he hikes. He's a CEO of a massive
nature,
company.
Nature.
And yeah, water's really good for that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, like you said, his are hikes, but it's kind of all a form of meditation in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a regular meditation practice, but other people do other things. And when you let your mind go and let it wander and don't obsess about something and you're focused on how beautiful it is around you, then you're letting go.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles did the same meditation technique that I did. And when they were learning it from the Maharishi, John would say, you know, what happens when I come up with a song during meditation? And the Maharishi said, have a pad next to you and write it down and then go back to relaxing. And that's what you're doing with bringing your phone to the pool with you.
So you are meditating, my love. This is
I am meditating. Whoa, that's a great discovery.
News.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I was going to address that myth he brought up earlier of meditation is hard at some point, but we'll talk about that
on the next show. Well, this has been amazing.
Mm.
We've had Rich and Jen Yaker from Conscious Life Coaching. You can Google them or find them at conscious-life-coaching.com. Of course, the lovely Melissa Bradley at melissa@loveyourmagicallife. And that's one L between magicalandlife.com. And I'm Mark at Improv My Sales. And it's just been a pleasure having you both here
to
play with us today and remind us of things and talk about magic and rainbows. And Jen sang this morning, which was really cool.
Yeah, I could talk about this for hours. I mean, relationships, I think, again, we all are either in one or want one, or some people want to transform theirs, whatever it is. Relationships, I think, are at the top of everybody's list. And it's a beautiful thing. And I thank you for, you know, stepping up, Jen, and you know, all the trials that you went through and bringing it through now to helping people.
manifest there.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor. It's really been an amazing gift.
Yeah, beautiful.
To be called to do this work. Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you, Rich. Yeah, thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, and thanks for raising your hand, Jen. And we'll be back. Mark and Melissa's magic. Michigas the magic. With a replay on Sunday at noon. You can hear us again. And thank you.